Ever notice how, like, some people just seem to sail through tough times while others, well, they kind of fall apart?
Yeah, totally.
Turns out a big chunk of that resilience we see, comes down to social support.
It's true.
And so today, we're doing a deep dive into the hows and whys of that very thing. We're looking at a 1985 research article, tons of studies, over 100 by Cohen and Wills.
What really gets me about this research is it's not just, hey, friends are good. Like, we know that, right?
Right.
It goes deeper into the mechanics. How do social ties actually make our well-being better?
So less about whether it's good to have friends. I mean, spoiler, it is. It's more about the nitty-gritty. Why those connections matter, especially when things get rough.
Exactly. For the longest time, researchers were going back and forth between two big models.
Okay.
And it's like this. Does just having friends, does that like directly boost your mood no matter what?
Okay.
That's the main effect model. Or are friends more like, I don't know, a magical shield protecting you specifically from stress's nasty side effects?
Interesting.
That would be the buffering model.
So one is saying more friends equals more happiness, end of story.
Right.
And the other is saying they matter most when you're already stressed out.
Precisely. And Cohen and Wills, after looking at all those studies, well, it's not that cut and dry. Turns out both have a point.
Oh.
But it really depends what kind of social support we're talking about.
All right, let's break that down, this support thing. Because I'm guessing it's not as simple as, like, how many people's numbers you have in your phone.
Oh, you are so right. Cohen and Wills are very clear. There's structural support and then there's functional. Structural is your social integration, married, in groups, friends nearby, basically quantity.
I see.
Functional, though, that's about the quality of those connections. What are you getting from them?
It's not having 500 Facebook friends. It's who you can call at 3 a.m. when stuff's hit the fan.
Exactly. Someone to provide emotional support, help you out practically, give solid advice, and make you feel valued, you know? That's functional support working its magic.
So what did all this research say about those two types? Was there a clear winner?
Here's where it gets juicy. Structural support, it did show some of those main effects, like more connections. Generally, yeah, you're probably doing better overall.
Okay.
But it wasn't always a guarantee that stress wouldn't hit you hard.
Ah, I see.
Functional support, though, that was consistent. Strong functional support, and stress didn't have as much of a negative impact.
So being around people isn't enough. It's having people you can actually count on when things get rough.
You got it. And this part's huge, straight from Cohen and Wills. Having a confidant is incredibly important.
Really? Tell me more about that.
The studies where they looked at if someone had a close confidant or not, boom, evidence for the buffering model was super strong. And this was especially true for women.
So that person you can truly open up to, be vulnerable with, they can make all the difference in a stressful situation.
That's it. Think about it. When things are hard, who do you turn to? Who gets you? Totally. No judgment. That's the power of a confidant right there.
It makes you think about being a good friend yourself, you know,
Yeah.
showing up for others in a way that really matters.
Huge point. Support's a two-way street. It's about building relationships where we're there for each other, giving and receiving that support,
Yeah.
feeling seen, heard, understood.
And all this connection can be a game changer when dealing with stress, according to the research.
No doubt. But it's not just about having any support, it's about the right support for what you're going through.
Ooh, okay.
And that's where things get even more interesting.
So having the right support, huh? I feel like this is where those different types of functional support really come in. Like, which one's best for different situations?
You're right on the money. Remember, we were talking about emotional support, practical help, sharing info, feeling valued. Cohen and Wills, they found that this buffering effect, it's strongest when the support matches the stress you're dealing with. Specificity.
Okay, that's pretty intuitive. Like, if I'm freaking out about a work presentation, a friend offering to do a practice run-through with me,
Right.
way more helpful than them just saying, "Don't worry, you'll kill it." Although, I gotta admit, a little, "You got this," never hurts.
Never hurts. Emotional support is always good. But yeah, you've hit on something key from the research. Specificity matters. If it's financial stress, for example, and a friend's like, hey, let's make a budget together, they hook you up with some
Yeah,
resources,
yeah.
that's going to be way more effective than just a hang in there.
So it's like having a whole support toolkit.
Yes.
Right. Each tool for a different job.
I love that. Toolkit, perfect. And here's another piece Cohen and Wills found. It's not just about the support itself, but also how the person perceives that support.
Hold on. So you're saying even if I've got the most amazing supportive people in my life,
Yeah.
If I don't feel it, I'm still more likely to crumble under stress.
Might sound kind of weird, but yeah. That's what the research says. How we see things, it really impacts us. Feeling unsupported, it can be just as bad as actually not having that support.
Whoa.
Makes you realize how important it is to build that strong sense of support, right? You gotta nurture those relationships. Be open about what you need.
This is making me rethink my whole approach, seriously. It's not passive, it's something you gotta actively work at. But there's something that's been on my mind. Most of what we've talked about, it's about like our mental well-being. Does this impact physical health too?
Big question. And even back then, Cohen and Wills were saying, we need more research on this. See, most of the studies they looked at, they were all about psychological distress. But there were some hints that social support, it might influence things like our physical health, even how long we live.
Wait, are you serious? You're saying a strong support system could actually help us live longer?
The evidence is there, but more like little clues, you know? We need way more research to figure out exactly how it works. Like, does it directly boost our immune system somehow? Or is it more indirect? Like, if you've got support, you're more likely to go to the doctor when you need to, or manage stress better, and that impacts your health.
Man, that's a whole other deep dive waiting to happen. But this idea that our connections, they could literally be keeping us alive, that's kind of mind-blowing.
Right. It really makes you realize how powerful human connection is. And it shows us we need to go beyond just, do you have support, yes or no?
Yeah.
We got to look at the types of support, where it's coming from, how we see it. It all matters for our well-being, mental and physical.
And didn't Komen and Wills find something interesting about differences between men and women too? Something about how women benefit more from having that one close confidant, while men, it was more about having a wider social circle.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Remember those big studies we talked about, the ones linking social support to like mortality rates? They saw that men with more variety in their connections, friends, family, coworkers, community groups, the whole shebang, they had lower mortality rates.
No.
But for women, it was more about how strong those bonds were, not just how many.
So quality over quantity for women. But for guys, it's more about casting a wide net. That is super interesting. It's almost like guys get more out of feeling like they belong to a bigger group. While women, they find strength in those deeper one-on-one relationships.
Fascinating, right? Of course, we're talking big picture here. Everyone's different. But it suggests that maybe social support works differently depending on whether you're a man or a woman. Definitely something to explore further.
And honestly, this is just scratching the surface of what Cohen and Wills found in their research review. They really went deep. And what they uncovered, it's had a huge impact.
Game changers, for sure. Challenged a lot of old assumptions and opened up whole new areas of research. For example, some people thought the buffering effect, they thought it was just a fluke in the statistics. But Cohen and Wills, they showed, nope. This relationship between stress, support, and how we're doing, it's real, and it matters big time.
Okay, so we've definitely established social support, super important, especially when life throws its curveballs our way. But what does this all mean for us, like in our everyday lives? What are we supposed to do with this information?
The million-dollar question, right?
Yeah.
It's not enough to just know about it. We've got to actually do something with it. We've got to be proactive.
Proactive about building that support. So how? Where do we even start? So we know it's important. We got to be proactive. But how W? Where do we even begin with this whole building support thing?
Well, this is where Cohen and Wills, they left us with this question, really stuck with me. They said, okay, if feeling supported is what matters,
right?
How do we get that feeling, even if right now our social network's kind of small? You know, maybe you just moved, haven't met people.
Exactly. Or life's just throwing you some curveballs and it's hard to like be social. What then?
It's about being intentional. You know? You can't just sit around waiting to bump into your new best friend. You got to go out there.
So actively look for those connections.
Exactly.
Give me the secrets.
Join a club, something you're into. Volunteer, get involved in your community. Heck, even just chatting with someone at the store, you never know.
Right. That random chat could turn into something more.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's amazing how often that happens. And remember, we're not talking about collecting friends like baseball cards here. It's about quality, not quantity. A few close, genuine relationships. That's where it's at.
Quality over quantity, for sure. It's like you've been saying all along, shifting how we think about these relationships. What do we need? What do we offer? How do we make it work?
You got it. And it's a two-way street. Takes effort on both sides. Our needs change. Relationships change. The important thing is to stay aware of that. Be open. and really prioritize the ones that make us feel good.
This whole deep dive has been amazing. It's like, yeah, we get it. Friends and family are good. But the science of it, the why it matters, that's powerful stuff.
Totally. Knowing this stuff, it gives you power. Understanding how it all works, then you can make choices that make your life better.
So if there's one thing I want our listeners to walk away with today, it's this. Social connection, it's not some extra bonus, it's vital. It's part of a healthy life. And the best part, we can all work on it, starting right now.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Take care of those bonds, be there for each other, and remember, human connection is a powerful thing. Until next time, keep on diving deep.